Welcome back to Cut and Splice. This is Jason, and as usual, I'm here with Gil and Matt. And tonight, we're going to talk about the new, or the 2003 movie Barbie.
And 2003.
Let's roll that back.
When I moved to LA.
I know, right? No, I'm actually staring at the number too, which is even funnier. Okay, so tonight we're not doing a full episode, but we are going to talk about last year's Barbie movie for a number of reasons. But I think mostly because it's something that we would potentially have a lot to talk about when we do our Oscar episode this year, and we don't want half the episode to be about this movie and then lopsidedly talk about everything else. So we're going to try to devote some time, I guess is the best way to put it. And I suggested this, if I remember correctly, for a number of reasons, but primarily because I was starting to get some deja vu. If anybody ever watched our first couple episodes, there tended to be this reoccurring situation where Gil would feel one way about a movie and Matt would feel the other way about a movie, and I kept finding myself somewhere in the middle, and that was a pretty common thing for us in our lives and in movies. So I was like, hey, let's do this, because that's how it seemed based on Matt's Facebook ranting that he felt about this movie. So that's where we're at.
Let's get ready to rumble.
okay.
But I guess maybe Jason, you should, since you are like in the middle, what did you feel about the movie? As far as your reaction when you first saw it.
I didn't know what to think.
Were you wearing pink also?
I wasn't. Mostly because I don't really have a lot of pink in my wardrobe. I used to have a really awesome pink tie. I don't have it anymore. Don't know where it is, but I used to wear it with a black suit. It was awesome. But I did not see this in theaters. I wanted to, but I didn't. I had heard a lot of real negative stuff and some super positive stuff. So I didn't know what to think going into this movie other than based on the trailers. I kind of went into it just like, let's see, it's getting a lot of great, it got massively good reviews from a lot of people. And then there was a lot of negativity going into it too. So I was like, all right, let's just, I try to be like blank slate, just kind of give it a fair shot. And there's a lot in this movie that I really like. But overall, if I had to be like, to try to be concise, I think it's like, it's got a lot going for it. And I could list a lot of that stuff later on when we're talking about this, but I think it's a bit of a mess. I think the movie, for all of its strengths, I think the last 35 to 40 minutes kind of falls apart for me. And so that's why I think it's definitely not, I don't think it deserves the praise that it's gotten, but I also am confused by how much like hate it's getting as well from the other half of the people who saw it. So it's like, I that's where I'm at, if that makes any sense.
Okay. Now I'll let Gil go, and then I'm going to absolutely unload.
Yeah, maybe your voice will. Is that from like taking a nap, or are you?
I concur. You do sound a little different. Yeah.
Maybe take a sip of water.
I'm just coming down from a cold, so.
I see that. Okay, just making sure. But either way, I guess
Matt is suffering from influenza.
I see.
Yeah.
I hope you feel better soon.
I'm feeling fine, just fine. But yeah.
You don't got the Rona, do you?
My Sharona. So I'm okay.
Okay.
Yeah. So I don't know. Like when I watched this movie, I did enjoy it. especially the creativity that went into and into the Barbie world and stuff. Like, they really went, like, the look, the lighting, the they just really made this bubbly world, and they were able to, like, go more like normal in the real world and stuff. I like those aspects of the movie. I really felt like it went for things. I think thematically also it was a very complex like story, like what they were trying to do there, and maybe that's why it could come off as a bit of a mess. I can totally see that. But the thing that really struck me as I was kind of seeing people's reaction to it is that it's a bit of a shape-shifting movie, like that, much like, say, like a 2001 might be in other impenetrable movies, where you could kind of, like, you can bring to it whatever you will, whatever your perspective is, you can lay it on top of it. Like, I've heard a lot of people say that it's got a lot of religious connotations, like, and it deals with that, like with dogma and things like that. And then other people went on it from, like, the mindfulness Buddha, like Buddha's approach, where, like, you know, that, like, the Barbie journey is like the Buddha's journey. Like, he's in a perfect world, but he knows that there's that death is a thing that exists. Like, he realizes that, and he realizes that there's suffering and there's pain. And then he seeks out, he goes out to the world, the real world, to understand what is the meaning of all that. You know, it's very Matrixy. Like, that's why they have the scene with the weird Barbie, which is like, no, you kind of have to do this. This is the hero's journey. You have to go down the rabbit hole. That was the joke.
Kate
there.
McKinnon.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's, and then from the other, like, for the more generic, what most people thought this movie was about is, like, the whole patriarchy and, like, feminist, like, icon type of thing. And then even conservative people. Yeah. Like, some people, like Ben Shapiro, hated it, but other people, like Michael Knowles, like in his same, like, media company, basically gave a rave review. For one thing, he said, like, it is very religious, because Greta Gerwig, like, went to Catholic school, so, you know, it's like, oh, he says,
I is Knowles the guy who's got kind of a skinny face?
I think so. Yeah, the one that doesn't have the beard. The beard is Matt Walsh, right?
No, I know who Matt Walsh is.
I
watched both of their reviews, not the Shapiro one and the Knowles guy. I didn't know that was his last name, but just throwing this out there in case anybody's seen that. I think Knowles was overly forgiving of the movie's flaws, but I think he understood the movie. And I think that Ben Shapiro didn't. That's all I'm going to say.
Yes, no, for sure. I think that Ben Shapiro was a bit too upset, and we'll see where Matt is. About the whole feminist anti-patriarchy, like, tone of the movie, that they just dismissed everything else, not realizing that it's actually criticizing feminism.
What I was going to say, yeah.
You know, it's actually saying, like, listen, the world is not exactly the way you picture it, and nothing is perfect. And me personally, and this is the thing, and all those analyses, I didn't have any of them. When I watched the movie, I thought Ken was the girl. Like, I thought that it was a flip of roles. Yeah, so maybe I'm wrong, because I haven't seen that in any of the analyses. I heard the Buddha thing for
that's
for,
like, how I that's how I saw
and it. And I heard, like, Knowles, like, the conservative approach was like, well, this movie is conservative, is showing how the Barbie world is empty, how it's, like, not worth it to, like, be all, like, a career woman and have no babies.
I think it's that too.
Yeah, it's an empty existence. Yeah, that's the criticism of the third wave feminism, whatever. Yeah. But to me, like, the reason why I think Ken's character is so important and why he was nominated for an Oscar is because he's not the lead character. That is Barbie, but subversively, whatever. Like, he is, like, the most important character in the movie. He represents what a woman feels like as a feminist today. And it shows how stupid that is to feel that way and to go from one extreme to the other extreme. Like, he feels like that he's only liked for his looks and not for his, mind and not for his, like, you know, skills or whatever. But then when once he sees that there's like, oh, there's another world out there, and it could be like more like men dominated, and he comes back and he tries to flip the whole thing over as opposed to trying to make things work. That, like,
all of those things you're talking about are the things I liked about the story. I thought those were all pretty strong.
Yeah, like, so those points were pretty strong. I think where it fell apart for me is, yeah, a little bit is like, you know, the whole thing with the mother-daughter, and then she goes on the America Ferrera, goes on the big speech, which, you know, it kind of muddies the water because, like, wait a second. So is this about feminism, like, or is it like a criticism of it? Like, what is it exactly?
Precisely how.
Because, like, then it's getting confusing here.
Muddies the water.
It's like, it was a good performance, but I was like, so wait, so this is about how difficult it is to be a woman, but at the same time, it's just like not explaining the fact that,
yeah,
you know, it's difficult to be anything in this world. A woman.
Matt a chance to talk about his.
So I mean, just like, I'm just throwing a few things out there that, and just to me, just the fact that this movie did so much of this and had so many people respond in different ways for a pop movie, like for a popcorn movie, I think that's admirable. I wish there's more movies like that would make a ton of money and would be thought provoking. And, you know, it might rub some people the wrong way, but you know, it, you can't say that it was like a nothing movie, that there was nothing in it.
I completely agree with what you're saying. I just wish it didn't have the problems that it had as well.
I think that this is the tale of Scrody McBookerballs of a movie in the sense that you're explaining it. I mean, no, it is blatant intersectional feminism. I mean, like, I would love to avoid the politics of the movie and just explain the problems with the plot, but they, within 5 minutes, they're beating you with the politics like they're beating you with a riding crop. I mean, like, it's right from the get-go that they're displaying what they're trying to shove down your fucking throat.
What parts are you talking about?
I mean, like, within 5 minutes, they, you know, like, they're celebrating like the all-woman Supreme Court declaring that corporations aren't people. I mean, like, you have to be a
Are you talking about in that scene where they're like, it's like a, there's some moment where they're like talking about, there's like a moment where they just kind of like start, they kind of spew a little bit of like courtroom talk or legalese or something
They're looking straight into the fucking camera.
Yeah, that's the, okay, so yeah, I don't remember, like, you know, what they said, but I wrote a note to myself.
I know that this was largely written by Noah Baumbach, but I mean, the script for this movie, I mean, it comes off as like a pink-haired college sophomore with a septum piercing and a hammer and sickle tattoo eating her own asshole. I mean, it's just it's that incoherent. I mean, it's something that is talking down to the audience, very blatantly making declarative statements about, again, the patriarchy and going out of its way to preach about stuff that it doesn't even understand when it comes to real world politics, and like how the Barbie world has this idyllic solution to everything. Like, if women were in charge, we would be great. I mean, it's incoherent because, okay, the Barbies are so much better at government and so much better at creating society and running society that, you know, like, you know, well, they know that corporations aren't people, but we don't. But all these brilliant, incredible women who don't have vaginas, that they make a very important, you know, point to make,
in the movie that nobody has genitalia in that area. Neither the Barbies nor the Kens. They're all these brilliant, vibrant people who are great at running society are also so dumb and so credulous that Ken, played by Ryan Gosling, that one Ken, who is established as not being a very smart person, picks up, two books, reads, probably skims them over the course of a couple of hours, goes back to Barbie land, and then over the course of, less than 24 hours, has them all brainwashed?
Well,
that's fucking stupid.
But don't you get what, the metaphor they're going for?
I get the metaphor. I'm just saying that it's fucking stupid.
No, but I mean, all of us, not all. I mean, everything except for the first thing you brought up with the bullshit where they're looking in the camera and preaching at you. Aside from that, everything that you're complaining about is kind of what plays into the metaphor wonderfully.
Okay. Explain this to me because I must be missing something.
So and I'm only going off of what I saw. Now, Gil, right, feel free to chime in if you think that I'm getting something wrong or whatever. But all I was seeing, aside from a few little bits that annoyed me, because it was why'd you even put that in there? That was stupid. The first half of this movie I thought was really good. You've got this concept where you've got this big, kind of metaphor where it's Barbie Land is kind of a gender swapped version of what society was prior to second wave feminism.
Okay. Yeah.
Or the way it was perceived by
women. Well, you could argue the way it was even, but at least perceived.
I mean, they had genitalia.
No, not that part. Just the fact that you have to picture it as all the Kens, all of the Ryan character, Ryan Gosling and all of the other Kens are the women, and then the Barbies are the men. So you've got the society where they don't have a lot of say in what's going on, and they are getting their value directly through their relationship with the other.
Yeah, right? I mean, the only complication I would say is that, to the metaphor, is that, but that this is all part of what the movie is about, is that because they don't have any procreation or libidos, there's basically no need. Barbie doesn't know what to do with Ken. They don't have
sex. That's true. I guess that's
they have a good companionship point, maybe to some degree, but that's where that's what the movie is also about. It's the fact that ultimately, more than anything, one of the things that connects men and women more than anything is having kids. Which is the whole.
I'm going to get to that. I was going to get to that. Yeah. All right. So the point.
We also need to delve into the transphobia of the movie.
Well, okay.
But yeah, continue.
I get you. So you've got that's what that represents, right? The Barbie Land thing represents a pre-second wave feminism, but gender swapped, right? So then she. It's a Alice in Wonderland type of story. You've got a fantasy land and you've got the real world, right? So she goes to the real world, brings Ken with her, and some of the funniest stuff in the movie is seeing these two actors interacting with the real world. That all the stuff for the first 15 minutes or so where they're in the real world is really funny and pretty good. So that's now, after that is when the movie starts to crumble, in my opinion, because stuff starts falling, the metaphor falls apart a bit. But when Ken learns that there's a way that there's a different way of doing things, he takes the concepts that he barely understands back to the Barbie land. And then when she comes back, it's tainted. It's messed up. And it's messed up because rather than being equal, rather than being this, what it should be, where there's a nice equality of the sexes, when she comes back, suddenly everything's inverted. And there's this like real toxic thing going on where the Kens are running everything. That's what is supposed to represent what happens to women who cling to a toxic version of third wave feminism, which is kind of what's happening now in society in a way. And so all that stuff I thought was fine. The problem is that everything falls apart at the end.
Reminded me of Biff stealing the almanac.
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay, Jason, all of this would fly with me for a second. It's not flying with me for a second.
Yeah, I get it.
The reason why it's not flying with me is that nobody learns anything at the end of the movie.
That's what I didn't get to that part yet. Yeah. My criticism of the movie, my biggest criticism, and I'll just throw this out now because it's not much. I could say it all within a minute or two. My biggest problem with the movie is that the metaphor falls apart because it leaves us with a, air quotes, happy and successful ending where Barbie Land is returned to the status quo. That's horrifying. So if I'm going to give this movie credit for its metaphor and for it, for pulling off that metaphor, I have to take away massive points for having a terrible ending, because the only characters that learn anything is Ken and Barbie. Like, how is that good to return everything to the status quo? The status quo is bad. Like, at the end, you got Barbie returning, you know, making a choice to do what she does, which is one of the other strongest parts of the movie, is her choice at the end. But also Ken, who represents again a woman who only saw her worth through her relationship with a man. So it makes sense that at the end he doesn't stay where he is. He decides he has to go out and find who he is. That's fine. You know, all that works. Except, how are you celebrating Barbie Land returning to the status quo? The status quo is bad. It is not good. So that's where, for me, the metaphor falls apart. And then I have a few other criticisms that are not as important, like the fact that like the way they represent the real world is awful, because it also makes the movie fall apart as well.
Yeah, honestly, Jason, I think you're being way too generous. I don't think that the video makers behind this really
intended that.
No, I don't see the intent, because I mean the way that the movie ends, it's all about, you know, the movie is a whole big fucking lie. By the time you get to the end, you know, like, you know, okay, well, you know, maybe some Kens could be on the Supreme Court. Like, well, not until, you know, it's in the real world. And yet, like, well, I mean, we have what, three women on the Supreme Court, maybe four off the top of my head. I mean, one thing that I'll give credit to the movie, I will say that the movie deserves credit for, is that it was financed by Mattel, and Mattel was willing to, you know, make fun of itself. But I mean, Mattel's board of directors is made up to be all men, and that's not true.
I wrote a note about that too.
Yeah, Bill Maher likes to bring it up almost every podcast that he does.
Well, like, so here's my criticism of that second half of the movie. It's like, there's so many movies that fall into this storyline. And when I say that, I mean the broad storyline, right? Like the Alice in Wonderland, subgenre. There's a fantasy world, there's a real world. You know, every now and then someone does something unique and does an original take on it, but basically there's just like hundreds of movies that fall into this, and TV shows too.
Right.
You know, The Matrix being one of the best ones. But anyway, the point is that if you're going to have any kind of movie that falls into this concept of there's the fantasy world and the real world, and characters are moving back and forth, the real world has to actually be real. Yeah. You know, otherwise it doesn't work. And in the movie Barbie, like the real world is bullshit. Like America Ferrera's husband is a complete fantasy character. Like I swear there was a draft of this movie where she was a single mom. Because this guy does not have a part. And then the few times he's on screen, he's like a cartoon character. It's so ridiculously unrealistic. And everyone treats him like he's a cartoon character. It's so weird. Then every scene with Will Ferrell has a totally fake tone to it. I love Will Ferrell. Like I really love his movies. But his character in this is less realistic than his character in the Lego movie. Like, I don't know how they expect us to believe that this guy's a real character. He's acting more fake than the Barbie characters are. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, the things he's saying and doing, it's so weird. And then, what was I going to say? Just like you guys said, the fact that they're portraying the all-male boardroom of Mattel, that's not actually accurate. So like, it's like, why do that? It doesn't help your case, you know? And then, you know, I don't know. You got like, I liked the moment where Barbie meets the Ruth character, but again, it's like, they kind of should have done that in some sort of fantasy way. Like they do at the end where she's in Barbie land, but like the way that she like magically inhabits some strange limbo floor of their corporate building. It's like, it's like, are we in another fantasy land? Like what the fuck? This is so weird.
Yeah.
To me, all that stuff, you know, just is the stuff that doesn't work. You know, I feel like there's this real strong metaphor. And it goes well, and like Gil touched on it a little bit, and feel free to build on what I'm about to say. But I loved the end because it, you know, her character growth throughout the film is evident, and then you've got this thing where at the end she's going to go to the real world and she's going to become a real woman, and they're setting you up to think like her big thing is that she's going to go to this like job interview, and instead she's going to the gynecologist. Because she wants to have a child. That's a good ending. Like that's, you know, saying that like, no, it's, you know, it's not about being this, you know, boss woman or whatever. Like being a woman is about experiencing life as a woman. And a big part of that obviously is the thing that only they can do, which is have kids, you know, and stuff. So that was a really cool ending and stuff. But like this movie loses itself. At the end, like it's like it's a complete mixed metaphor, and it's giving off all the wrong, you know, like story elements by the end. It's just a big mess.
And I think some part of it is because it's not trying to do what we're thinking it was trying to do. Like maybe there was some part of it that was about this metaphor, but I do think that it's from what you read from most of the mainstream, you know, like response to the movie. It really is mostly about female empowerment, but like in the sense of like that there's these impossible standards that women have to, you know, like deal with and, you know, like to look good and be successful and have kids and all these things. But I just think that's why the movie is a bit like of a shape-shifting kind of thing, because there's a lot in it. Which is why you can read into it. The thing that also bothered me towards the end, I also like the idea that she goes to the gynecologist, but I think it's slightly, again, muddied by the scene she has with Ken, because she doesn't really get redeemed. Like when she has an opportunity to say to Ken, like, you know what? I'm so sorry. It's me. I got to work on myself. Like I have some work to do. And maybe it wasn't about you not being worthy of me. It's maybe me not being worthy of you, like, you know, or us not being worthy of each other. But, you know, I'm going to go out and do this thing and we'll see what happens. But she basically tells him, like, you have some problems. Like, I think the scene
yeah.
the way it plays, like, she's basically like, maybe you need to work on yourself. Like, she kind of like is condescending almost to him. Which if he is the woman in that metaphor, yeah. that is not what you want to hear the man say in his yeah. realization in the end. you know, like
that's essentially my take as well, is that like I like the stuff that I brought up, and I'll go ahead and say it, you know, you said it, maybe I'm wrong, maybe this is not what their intent was, maybe I'm reading too much into this in one direction and not the other. If that is the case, then I'm just reading it wrong and I'm giving it credit where credit is not due. But if all of this stuff was intended and those are the things they did do positively, basically it means that at the end they undermine themselves. Because exactly, like you said, yeah, that is a, that if that is the correct metaphor, that scene is kind of ugly at the end, as well as all the Barbie Land characters going back to status quo. That's also an ugly thing to put at the end of the movie. And, you know, it's just, there's some weird stuff that really undermines itself by the end, you know?
Yeah, and I think it's because it's going in a few different directions that you can take it, and we just read it not the way that the movie was mostly intending, and that's why there's inconsistencies in the scenes leading up to the end.
Isn't that another way of saying that it's a mess?
It is a bit of a mess. No, that's why I somewhat like the ending, because it is the right ending that she'll want to have. Because the biggest criticism, and that's what Michael Knowles said, like, is that the reviewing of the movie, like what some people took from it, is the fact that like Barbie's, the whole point of the doll is that it didn't have kids. There's no kids inside. It was all about career. And then women kind of lose sight of the fact that like, hey, being just a mom is fine too. There's nothing wrong with that. You can be a mom and have a job too. Like basically you should do whatever you want to do. And while you're at it, you know, take the other person for the ride, you know, like it's literally like, you know, Ken had to like stow away in her car in order to go along for the ride. Like that's how vain she is or how snobbish she is. And that never gets redeemed. She never comes. I don't want them to end up together. I just want her to acknowledge that maybe there's something there. Maybe Ken has value. Maybe they should get along, because that's, you would want to have a movie that's about the patriarchy / matriarchy. You wanted to have like a feeling of like of the two coming together, even so, if it's not romantically.
If I may be so bold, what I felt this movie was missing, and I think what you're touching on right there, and just to illustrate with a far better movie, Disney essentially did this years ago with the movie Enchanted. In the movie Enchanted, if you haven't seen it, it's like you've got the fantasy world, which is like a representation of all of the Disney fairy tale princess movies, and you've got the real world. And you have characters from the fantasy world come across to the real world. They interact with the real world, and there's a lot of funny jokes about how they're interacting with the real world, and they bring up a very, you know, important point that as characters are represented very basically in some of those old fairy tales, there's like a problem. The problem is that they're looking at life in this really simple way, and they're just like falling in love within minutes of meeting somebody and so on and so forth. There isn't a lot of value in their relationships and so on and so forth. Whereas in the real world, they've lost their sense of magic. The character that has a child, he's like raising a girl on his own, and he's just like struggling, and he wants her to be prepared for the world, but he's turning her into a jaded person because he's not introducing any magic into her life, any hope and joy. And so when the character, Amy Adams' character, meets him, ends up being a fantastic like stepmom for his daughter, basically, because she can, you know, be everything that this little girl needs to instill hope and joy and all this stuff like that. But it's like a culture clash, because meeting the guy from Grey's Anatomy, meeting him kind of grounds her, and she realizes that she's been extremely naive, and everything about her fantasy land is extremely naive. And so by the end, there's this, what you have with a good culture clash movie, where everyone goes, oh, we need a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and we all need to change, and we all need to work together. And both parties benefit from the experience of changing a little bit and meeting in the middle. This movie set that up. And then at the end, Barbie Land goes back to status quo, And real world, whatever their version of the real world, goes back to status quo. And the only change is in Barbie herself and Ken. And it's like, that's really weird. And
I don't even think Ken changed that much.
I mean, well, like I said, his character realizes, if you look at him as the
he's not defined by Barbie or something.
Yeah, if you look at him as the spouse that was trying to define herself through her man, at the end, he realizes that he needs to go off and find out who he is as a person. So I guess there's a little bit of growth. But yeah, you're right, not a lot. But
he's not solely defined by his relationship.
My only point is that I was excited about 40 minutes into this movie because I was like, yeah, there's a few things that are irking me a little bit, but I was like, at the end of this movie, they're going to come together in this marvelous way and talk about how they, you know, by coming together, there's change. But with equality, there's change. You know, with equality, there's everyone benefits and so on and so forth. It doesn't do that at all. Like it goes back to the status quo and it's like, ugh, that's kind of an ugly ending.
Yeah, because that's the biggest thing I would say is that what the movie definitely does, I think, is just show that nobody seriously wants to live in that world. You know, I mean, I might be okay with living in the world, the real world they constructed, but even that, I don't like that world. I mean, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with like all the Mattel board being men, even though in real life it's not.
That was just fake.
that was just like to make a point, like a stronger narrative point. But I just feel like it's in a world where like everything is so tilted to one side and there's like strong dependency, that's not a good world. Obviously, you want to have a world where there's choice. You can choose to be just a mother. You can choose to be a career woman. You can choose to have kids. You can choose not to. You can do whatever you want and you shouldn't be judged. And that goes for men or women, for that matter. Like, I just don't understand why you wouldn't want to have. I think maybe either this movie was doing something different that we're missing, or it was like more about the Buddhist journey, like the you know, the Neo / Buddha journey that Barbie's going through, or that it was like really all about like this like women empowerment thing. But while it's doing that, it's also creating this matriarchal world that looks like nothing you would want to live in. So it defeats its own purpose. I don't know. Like, and it's also saying how like they're it's so weird. Like it doesn't work for me the other way. It only works as a metaphor for Ken being the woman in the relationship, like the way it's perceived by women, you know, like you said, maybe 50 years ago or something.
So Matt, you don't feel that any of that's in there?
In one sense, I kind of find it bizarre, this whole idea that the ending is like, okay, Barbie's going to go off and like try to be a mother when like women go to gynecologists for reasons other than, you know, like, hey, I want to have a baby.
What do you think that they're saying?
Could be a sexual thing for sure.
I think that's the transphobia of the movie, which is the idea that she became a real woman because she now has an actual vagina. And, you know, being that this is leftist propaganda, it kind of seems weird that they would go in that direction. But
since you brought it up, I'll just say this real quick, because you guys, I think, have seen more of her movies than I have. I think, I don't know. But I've the only movies of hers I've seen are the ones we've covered on this podcast. This one and Lady Bird. Yeah. And I mean, I didn't really think about this that much, but I have already forgotten his name. What's the guy you guys were talking about before we started this?
Michael Knowles.
He brought this up and I was like, oh, that's right. We talked about that on the podcast. Like, her other movie is, this is what I don't understand about her as a person. And this is why I would probably almost like to meet her and talk to her. It's like, it seems like her movies are filled with fairly clear, ideas that could more or less be associated with the left. But Lady Bird did end on a very, what most people would call, fairly conservative note, saying that, you know, despite all of these things that we've done throughout this whole movie, her character learns at the end and does something where she realizes she needs to connect with her family, particularly the stuff that she didn't like so much about her family and the culture of her family, which is her Catholicism and her beliefs. And she goes off and finds a church to go to at the college that she, you know, has gone off to and everything. Well, not at the college, but near the college where she's gone off to and everything. And this movie too, unless we're totally reading into this wrong, I feel like the ending and the metaphor that we're talking about has a nice, interesting take, you know, almost, dare I say, almost an anti-third wave feminism take. Now, obviously, plenty of other things in the movie contradict it outright. But that's what I find interesting about her, is that if I'm reading in either of these two movies even remotely correct, then I feel like there's like a conflict there, probably within her as a storyteller. And maybe there's more to it than that. I don't know. It's just something I find fascinating. Not good or bad, just something.
To me, this is where we're getting into Scrody McBooger Balls territory.
When you say that, you're like, talking about like reading way too much into something?
Seeing something that isn't there. I mean, like, leading up to that scene, it would make sense that she's making this decision to, like, become a wife and mother or something like that if she were open to, like, a monogamous relationship with a man, something like that. But, you know, like, we're literally coming off of her saying, you know what, not only should society be segregated between men and women, but we as individual Barbies and Kens are going to be segregated. Like, you know, you are literally coming off her dumping him and saying, I don't need no man. I'm just going to be me. And then she goes to the gynecologist. There's no indication that she's going to the gynecologist to check her fertility or any bullshit like that.
Well, I would argue that her interaction with America Ferrera and her daughter made her want to have that kind of thing in her life. Now, I would also argue that you're correct that, as I've been saying for a while now, that for all of its positive things, the movie undermines itself.
Yeah, I mean, also, like, it is amusing that the fact that, like, the Billie Eilish song is called What Was I Made For? It's like, well, having babies. I mean, pretty much evolutionary.
Is that a song in the movie?
It's the song of the, yeah, it's like the, it's going to be probably nominated for an Oscar. I think it might be nominated for an Oscar. It was nominated for a Grammy yesterday or Sunday, whenever it was. But yeah, and I read the lyrics, and it doesn't get into the whole baby stuff. It just talks about, you know, ridiculous expectations, like body shaming and things like that, like being depressed, like not being enough. Like, basically what this movie is about, it's more about the women empowerment. Like, and of course, the Ken thing, the reason why I think the Ken thing is a metaphor and we're not completely off. For one thing, I do see that I'm reading online, the religious connotation is the Adam and Eve story, that it's flipped because Barbie came first and then they made Ken. They flipped the Adam and Eve Mattel when they created her, and like Ken was an afterthought, the same way that the woman was an afterthought for God, you know. And that, I think that's where the religious connotation is, like, because that's the story of Genesis, that like there's woman is like less than, you know, because it's part of the man, it's joined with the man, and I think that's stupid, and that's not enough for the movie to consist on. But the whole Ken being enough, what do people say about women often? Like, I am enough. Like, you know, I think generally people say that on men and women, is that like the whole self-love thing is like, you know, you shouldn't be too self-critical. You want to be motivated. You want to be ambitious, but you, at the same time, you should be happy with who you are. You're enough. You know, like, you shouldn't set yourself expectations that are just insurmountable. And that goes for men or women, you know, the whole knuff thing. That's why I think it's a metaphor, because if this is a movie that's more geared towards women, like trying to tell the story of women in history, and Ken represents it with the whole knuff thing, then yes, I think there needs to be some sort of like reconciliation in the end, or like a glimpse of it. But I don't know if it was because
reconciliation.
Reconciliation. Like maybe they wrote that ending and it just wasn't good enough. Like maybe it was just too sappy, or something bothered them that they wanted to go the, I don't know, the La La Land route or something, where it's like bittersweet. Like, yeah, like Ken and Barbie are not really going to get there, but she's on her way. She's gonna, like, you know, she's gonna go check her vagina for whatever reason. Hopefully babies make sense to me, because the whole idea of the Barbie doll is that she's like, they talk about it, that there was a pregnant Barbie, but then it got discontinued. It's like, no, that's not what Barbie's about. Barbie's about being gorgeous and amazing looking and being a career woman, but it's not about having babies. And of course the 2001. What is it? Like, that's what Michael Knowles sell. Like, they're destroying their baby dolls. Like, we don't want baby dolls. We want to be career women. We don't want babies. Like, you know, but then like the Billie Eilish song, "What Was I Made For?" Having babies. It's like, that's really what a woman and a man were made for, is procreation. It doesn't mean that everybody has to do it. As long as enough of us do it, we'll survive as a species. But ultimately, evolutionary, that is the reason why we're here. We otherwise, like, we wouldn't evolve to the point that we are now. Beyond that, yes, do whatever you want with your time. But ultimately, the number one goal of any living creature is to procreate. I mean, you know, and it can't be that a movie about this is not going to deal with that subject. And it seems like it did, based on what I saw.
I don't know. I don't want to sound like a broken record, but to me, I think it had a lot going for it. I think there were parts that were really funny. I think that the two lead characters did a really good job with their acting and everything like that. But I think if like you said, if it had come to an ending that showed some sort of reconciliation, some sort of understanding on all sides, and moving forward in a positive way, then I think it would have been a real strong message. I just think it kind of falls apart a bit. So, like I said in the beginning, I don't think it deserves the hate it's getting from some people, but I also am, well, I wouldn't say I'm surprised by how successful it was. I just don't think it deserves quite the accolades that it's getting either.
Yeah, I mean, one thing I was going to say too is that a movie that I was sort of thinking of as I was trying to think of similar movies as far as their approach to the subject is Okja.
What about it?
Like, when I saw Okja, I don't know if you've seen it, Matt.
Have you seen it, Matt?
I haven't.
Okay, it's Bong Joon-ho, you know, the guy who did Parasite. It was like his, I think, his only English language movie, but it's this sort of like almost like borderline activist, like pro veganism type of like movie.
Yeah,
it's like anti-meat. But then as you watch the movie, what he does there, and that's what I thought Barbie was as I was watching it. It was like he was shading on everybody. He was satirizing even the activists, like
to a small extent though.
Yeah, but he was basically saying, listen, we're all fucking idiots, and all this girl wants is to keep her cow because she loves it, kind of like a pet. You know,
it's not so much a cow, it's more like a land manatee. But yeah.
Yeah. But in any case, like, it's this whole idea that, like, you know, it's like there's a lot of moral ambiguity to like what we do, and nobody has it completely right. And nobody is completely in the wrong. We're all just trying to figure things out in this life. And maybe with some patience and understanding, we can have a better future. And that's what I think, if Barbie had done that, not that Okja was an amazing movie, but I just felt like I appreciated the fact that it wasn't just gung-ho about one, you know, veganism. It wasn't just that. It was more than that. It was about our relationship to animals and things like that. And a generational story. And I thought Barbie was going to be similar, where like, listen, all of you are idiots. Like, you know, the woman hating men, the men hating women, like you're all idiots. Like you should really just come together and just relax, you know, and try to evolve as people so we can get along more and make this world even more equal than it is right now. But it just didn't do that. That's why I felt like it fell apart.
I like that you brought up Okja, and without giving anything away, because I do think, Matt, if you get a chance, you should check it out. It's an interesting movie. But what I liked about it, or I like that you bring that up, because I also see it as a flawed movie. Because, Matt, this is all in the first like 30 minutes, so I'm not giving anything away. But I agree with you that I think there was layers of depth to that movie, more than just, oh, it's all one view, one side kind of thing. But where I think that movie's metaphor falls apart is that it's like trying to show like, oh, like we shouldn't be eating animals because look at this kind of situation. And their example of this super pig is what they call it. They call it like a super pig or something like that, but it's not pig-like at all. It's like a giant, beautiful manatee. like it's this adorable, adorable creature. And in the first like 30 minutes of the movie, they display that this thing is not only adorable, but it is super intelligent. Like pigs don't come anywhere near how smart this thing is. Dogs don't come anywhere near how smart this thing is. I would dare to say this thing is smarter than an ape. Like this thing saves this little girl from falling off a cliff in the first 15 minutes. Like it is so smart. And I'm like, what world are you living in? We, at least in this society, I mean, I know you can go to other places and then people eat dogs and stuff like that, but you know, that they also live in developing countries and stuff like that for the most part. And you know, there's not a whole heck of a lot of options, like a grocery store with meat just sitting there in a refrigerator, you know, like, I mean, like in this country, we don't eat chips, you know, this thing is so much cuter and so much smarter than a chip. If you believe that if these things were real, that we would be eating them, you're crazy. These things are so cute. Like there's no way. Like they're so adorable and they're so smart. Like people would be having them as pets. There's no way we'd be eating them.
Yeah, I mean, to me, Okja is a little bit like, you know, true table tennis. No, because like the whole thing about like, you know, I just came here to play and you people are just fucking it up for like for us. Like the idea that like this bickering from both sides, like the pro meat and the anti meat. And meanwhile, like I don't, she doesn't really, she doesn't have like a what's the word? Like really a side or anything. She just, this specific one is like you said, it saved her and she has a connection with him. She wants to save him. She's not trying to stop them from like, you know, maybe she'll grow into that, but like, but that's right now. She just, she's very focused. Like we all are living through our own little bubble, our own little existence. And we're just trying to be the best that we can within that. And the world is just very chaotic, especially for a small girl, you know? So
correct me if I'm wrong. I also have this vague memory. Is Okja the movie where Tilda Swinton played like two different characters?
I remember that she played someone from the corporation, but I don't know if it was two parts. If
you have, I don't remember either. I just remember a movie where I was like, why did you do that? You're adding complication to this. Like I was like, what? And I don't remember if it was that one or something else. I just have this vague memory of that. But yeah, I liked Okja. I just thought I was going to love it. And I was like, it's kind of like when you have a movie that's so heavily hinging on its metaphor, it's got to be a damn good, well-executed metaphor.
Oh, she did play Lucy and Nancy.
Like yeah, so sisters. that was another thing where I was like, and it's like when you do that in a movie like Hail Caesar, that's hilarious, you know. When you do it in this movie, I was like, why is she playing both of them? That's so weird.
Yeah, no, I mean it's definitely an imperfect movie. I mean, he's got some issues with his. I feel a similar thing about Snowpiercer. It's like a very solid, good, like, you know, premise and stuff. But then as you think about it more and more, it's like kind of breaks, falls apart. I can't believe they made a show about it.
We got to do an episode on Snowpiercer because you're right. I can't believe they made an episode, a TV show about that.
Yeah.
It's God, I don't want to rewatch that movie.
Come on.
No, it's a fun movie, and I like these. It's
got so much going for it, and at the same time, its metaphor is so flawed.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost amazing to me how perfect Parasite is, because he does have an issue with his metaphors,
right?
But like Parasite, I it's very rare to see such a precise movie. If like Barbie had the same preciseness of Parasite. Like it would be such a better movie, but they just didn't work out all the kinks. Like, it's just like, it's a bit all over the place. And that's just my reaction, but I don't think it was like a not enjoyable, like experience. And I probably, by the way, I gotta say, I wouldn't have seen it. Like it's one of those movies that I probably wouldn't end up seeing if it wasn't for it being nominated for an Oscar or the fact that there was such a big fuss about it. But I didn't have much interest in it. I'm glad I did. Like, mostly I think Ryan Gosling is one of his better performances. I feel like, I don't know. I just really like him. He's really like captivating in that role. Like, he's just so fun.
I'm going to say something really controversial real quick.
Okay.
So seeing as how, we have gone over this movie now at this point, and I've discussed the things that I liked, but then also the litany of things I disliked, you know, maybe list is a better word, phrase, whatever. I feel like the problems with this movie were not in story so much as in its execution. Like you were just saying, if it had been as solid and precise. So perhaps it's a good thing that it's getting attention and that it's nominated for some stuff. And perhaps it's appropriate that it's not nominated for Best Director, because maybe the direction isn't super solid. The stones, I'm getting hit.
I mean, all Greta Gerwig has ever been good at is having people talk and pointing a camera in their general direction. So, no, like she didn't deserve a director nomination for this. I mean, if Robbie was going to get a nomination for Best Actress, it would be for Babylon. I mean, Babylon wasn't really well received.
But wasn't it last year though?
That movie.
It was early last year.
No,
that was early 2023.
Well, that was 2023. That was within this Oscar. I still
need to see that. I'm really frustrated. I didn't get to see that one.
Yeah. I mean that's the thing I would say. I mean, like my two favorite, like, I mean, I would say like Ryan Gosling and America Ferrera probably were the most decent performances, but. And then the other two were like, I like Kate McKinnon and I liked, who's his face? Michael Cera. Like I did like his character. I found that character very amusing. That's actually tough to like, that's where I think some of the female metaphor falls apart. Cause he's not a very female character to some degree. I feel like he definitely is a guy character, the whole awkward. Yeah, exactly. The maybe kind of skirts both sides. Maybe he's
one thing that bothers me about the movie too is that, like, you know, they made a deliberate effort to make it not a kids movie, right? You know, they really, you know, they went for the PG-13, they went for, you know, sexual
sex jokes, yeah,
and all that stuff. Like, you know, they were definitely gearing this to adults. And if you're going to do that, and you're going to make a large portion of your movie about, you know, like how the Barbies, you know, how the Barbies are treated in the real world is being reflected in the Barbie world, and you've got the Kate McKinnon character who's like the abused Barbie, the, you know, with the bad haircut and all that stuff. Like, why not just go all out with it? Like, why not just like have the Barbie who's like, you know, the real world girl who has the Barbie has like the asshole brother who just like put her in a microwave or something. Like, you know, why not have a Barbie just have her leg ripped off or something, you know, at some point? Like, why not just go full bore with it? I mean, like, there's so much that you could do with that that they just decided to not do.
Yeah, I mean, there's also, we didn't bring up the whole thing of the board running after Barbie and Ken to try, especially Barbie.
I brought up how unrealistic the tone is.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Right. But also the whole thing of like trying to put her back in the box.
Yeah,
That's also like a very like, you know, oh, she's a woman, keep her in her box type of thing. You know, it's it's just too much all over the place. There's too much going on. It was going for this like really farcical thing towards the end where everybody's like kind of mashing together. And it was just throwing everything on there. And yes, I think it's a direction thing to some degree. I think that like, I wonder if like a lot of like what Noah Baumbach brought to the script is like a lot of like, he tends to do more like grounded movies. So you probably like, they probably worked out together a lot of like the structure of like the metaphor and everything, but I think in production, I mean, I'm sure it was overwritten and they overshot. And then in the assembly, I just think that like this movie could have been reshaped to be something, you know, slightly more concise or more focused. Yeah. And it would work pretty well, but it's getting all these reactions, which I guess I'll agree that now maybe. Before I was telling Matt that it's like kind of brilliant that it does that, but yes, maybe it's definitely not in the 2001 where it's like, or if you're religious, then they met God, and if you're not religious, they met aliens. Like that, you can look at it that way, where this is like, there's no dichotomy here. Like you can see it 3-4 different ways because the movie's a bit of a mess, you know. So.
Yeah, I feel compelled to bring this up, and you know, Jason, you know, like you have been the perfect politician during this conversation in terms of like,
well, thank you.
it doesn't deserve the hate, and it doesn't deserve the love, and everything like that. And it is one of those things where, like, okay, if I'm going to make an honest assessment of the movie in a vacuum, like if I weren't aware of the cultural impact of the video, and I were just to give my general assessment, I would probably give it a 4.
Okay.
If you're asking me what this has done culturally, I give it a -10.
What do you think is the negative impact that it's had? I'm not saying that there isn't one. I'm just curious to hear what you have to say.
I mean, it is well documented that, I mean, there are women out there who have broken up with their boyfriends if they didn't like the movie.
What?
Yeah.
I haven't heard. That's crazy. God.
This is the whole thing.
Yeah, and I do remember hearing that when the movie came.
Wow.
And by the way, any guy who got broken up with because he said this movie didn't make any damn sense, and his girlfriend is just like, oh, well, you know, fuck you, buddy. You know, I don't need no man. the guy probably dodged a fucking bullet. But okay. I mean, it is well documented that this is a phenomenon that, like, women, that a lot of young women have been basically viewing this movie as a, like, a freaking Bible. Like a feminist Bible. And it's disgusting and it's wrong. And
you must keep your finger on the pulse of society a little more than I do. I try to avoid a lot of the stuff online unless it's directly coming to my feed or something, but wow, that's alarming.
Yeah.
I told Anna, like, are you sure you want to see this? Because like, I guess we have three kids, so it's like, we're pretty safe. Not that easy of a decision to break up kids. No, but no, we didn't have that many. We argue way, way worse on other less important things than Barbie.
Yeah.
No, but it's, I don't know.
Like
it's,
Oppenheimer?
It's, yeah.
By the way, I only said that because I thought to myself, I was like, quickly, what's another movie that came out this year? This is the first one that jumped to my head.
But yeah, I guess that we should say, like, the nominations, we touched on it a bit, but yes, I think this movie, I mean, America Ferrera and Ryan Gosling got nominated. That's good. The script was nominated because, like, more than anything, you have to say, like, we could be in a universe where this movie is complete chick flick nonsense, and it's not. It's a cultural moment, even if it's a messy one. And it was really trying to tackle this, like, you know, what the Barbie doll was. Like, it was poking fun at the maker of the Barbie doll. Like, it was, you know,
had some
funny
jokes about the.
It was criticizing. It was criticizing what Barbie represented, which is like the, you know, the dumping of babies, like the breaking of the baby doll, which is like what a lot of women should aspire to, or at least, you know, like, it's part of what you're made for, is to have babies apart from everything else. Like, it does criticize those things. The fact that it's messy, yeah, a lot of movies are that have, like, high aspirations can tend to be messy, even from amazing filmmakers like Jung Bong, whatever. I keep forgetting his name. But, you know, is it a good attempt? Yeah, like, it's a good attempt. It could have been a nothing movie. It would still have made, like, maybe 400 or 500 million, maybe not a billion, but it could have been like a complete, like, chick flick that nobody would want to see. But look, we're talking about it. Like, a lot of men went to see it. You know, it's this is not like Girls Night Out type of, like, I don't know, like, there's these movies that are like that get advertised that are, like, so
it's got some substance in there.
And it's still about both sexes. Like, you see a lot of, like, female centered movies that are very, very highly targeted to women. Like, this is for
and the other way
female
around.
Audience. And the other way around, like, obviously, like, you know, anything Shoot 'Em Up and stuff is very targeted to men. Men don't have any lack of stuff that's targeted at them. But the fact that it's a movie that does try to be like, hey, we're going to really deal with this subject. We're really delve in. It's going to be like, you know, we'll see what we get out of it. And that's admirable. Like, that's, you know, that's something. I still think that, I don't know, people are saying that Margot Robbie should have been nominated for Best Actress. Yeah, it is an iconic role, but I think it could have been better. Like, I think her performance, and I don't think it's her fault. I think she's a great actress. I just think that something about the structure of the movie didn't lend it to her having a stronger, you know, performance.
I'm sure that we'll probably talk about this in our other episode, but off the top of your heads, do you guys remember who the five were that were nominated for Best Actress?
I don't know if I've seen most of the movies.
Anytime anyone's complaining about the Oscar noms, I always tell them, like, you know, who would you bump? You know what I mean? Because don't complain about someone not getting it unless you can literally say, this was so much better than this one, this one, and this one. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, I mean, there's Emma Stone and Poor Things. I still haven't seen it.
Me too.
I'm
going to see it this
week. That's a really good movie.
Lily Gladstone, nobody's going to bump her because she's Native American.
I still need to see that one too. I can't find 4 hours of time to devote to it.
Carey Mulligan. I saw Maestro. That was a very good performance.
Oh, I heard that was good.
And then I haven't seen Naiad. That's Annette Bening. And I did see Anatomy of a Fall. I don't know if you guys have seen it.
I'm planning to. Is it? Did you like it?
I think it's at the moment it's my favorite movie of the year. I mean, I was like just floored by it, in so many ways. But so I was like, what's this fucking movie all over the place? This like weird, you know, it's like a French movie, but there's like a German actress and they mostly speak English and it's not nominated for foreign film. I think it's because of the amount of English that's in it. Also, I guess because it wasn't the official selection of France, that's why. But I was like, I'm glad this movie is getting attention because like this is like something else. Like I haven't seen this solid of like just writing and directing, because also she got best director nominee for Anatomy of a Fall. People said like, hey, you know, like why couldn't you give Greta Gerwig a nomination? Fuck no, she did a way better job with that movie than Greta Gerwig did with Barbie. I mean, the preciseness of like, it's like Parasite fucking level like of preciseness with the filmmaking.
I really want to see it.
It's nothing, and you wouldn't expect that from like a courtroom drama and like a what happened type of like thing. So, yeah.